Have your Bible. Turn to Habakkuk chapter number 2. Habakkuk chapter number 2. Go to your minor prophets before go to Matthew and back up into your minor prophets. Habakkuk chapter number 2. Now, we know that Habakkuk, he was one that was coming along after some of the major prophets, and he was pointing us a little further, a little deeper into the knowledge of the things that was to come. Boy, what a blessing it is. Amen. In Habakkuk chapter number 2. For sake of time, we'll start at verse number 9 tonight. Habakkuk chapter number 2 and verse number 9. The Bible says, "Woe to him that covereth an evil covetousness to his house, that he may set his nest on high, that he may be delivered from the power of evil. Thou hast consulted shame to thy house, by cutting off many people, and hast sinned against thy soul. For the stone shall cry out of the wall, and the beam out of the timber shall answer it." Cry out of the wall. "So woe to him that buildeth a town with blood, and establisheth a city by iniquity. Behold, it is not the Lord of hosts, that the people shall labor in the very fire, and the people shall weary themselves for very vanity. The earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. Woe unto him that giveth his neighbor drink, that putteth thy bottle to him, that makest him drunken also, that thou mayest look on their nakedness. Thou art filled with shame, for glory drinketh thou also, and let thy foreskin be uncovered. The cup of the Lord's right hand shall be turned unto thee, and the shame spewing and a shameful spewing shall be in thy glory, on thy glory. For the violence of Lebanon shall cover thee, and the spoil of beasts shall make thee afraid, because of men's bloods, and for the violence of the land, of the city, and of they that dwell therein. What profiteth a graven image, that the maker thereof hath graven it, the molten image and the teacher of lies, that the maker of his work trusteth therein to make dumb idols?" I want to preach tonight just a few minutes, if God will be our help, on this thought: a warning and a promise. Amen. A warning and a promise. As Habakkuk's preaching to him here, he's instructing to him here from the Word of God, and he's trying to manifest what God has in store for the people. We see the warning, and we see a warning of sin and iniquity that we see through verses 1 and 8, 1 through 8, how God's going to deal with that sin and deal with it in a right fashion, in a right way, and in a timely manner. Amen? People's not going to get by with sin. They're going to get by with their iniquity. There's coming a day that we'll all have to answer for all of that. Amen? I'm glad I've got the blood of Jesus Christ to cover my sins. I'm glad I'm living with His righteousness and not mine. It's through the righteousness of the Lord Jesus that helps make us right. But we see, as they laid this out here, we see the sin, we see the iniquity, and then in verse number 8, we see even the murder. Amen. How murder comes up in people's life, and how the shedding of blood becomes of no effect to people. They're able to just shed blood, and it don't affect them any. They're able to take someone's life, and it doesn't bother them at all. And what a sad tragedy that is, because it represents as the Bible says, the violence of the land. Amen. It's prominent even in the cities and those that dwell in them. And the more you congregate people, the more you put people together, the harder it's going to be for everybody to get along. Amen. And it's always amazed me how you have these little communities. It just seems like they'll have just a little cell, and it just grow bigger and bigger. And it's just almost a proven fact that the more people you get in a small area, the harder it is to get along. Amen. Because I'm not like you, and you're not like me, amen? And sometimes it's just we get on each other's nerves. And I thank God for the good Word of God, because one day there's a place called heaven where we can congregate and be together, and everybody will be okay. Amen. Everybody will be on the same mind, the same mindset. Praise God. We'll be all on the same page, worshiping the same Savior, loving one another like Jesus loved us. Loved us. He loves us. Amen. We'll be able to love one another like He loves on us. Praise God. Won't that be something? But so we see these warnings of sin. We see these warnings of iniquity. We see these warnings of murder. And then we see in verse 9 through 11, we see the sins of greed. Greed begins to raise up its ugly head. Amen. Have you ever seen a world that we live in that could be any more greedy? It's all about me, 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 and what I want. He said, woe unto him that coveteth an evil covetousness to his house. Amen. He said that covetousness, that always wanting to get and never wanting to give. Amen. God's blessed us so much, praise God. We ought to be coveting to have more and more, praise God. We ought to be praising God for what He's given us and be willing to help somebody just a little bit more. Amen. But He said they're constantly wanting to get these things more and more and have more and more. He said that they may set His nest on high, that He may be delivered from the power of evil! Exclamation point. Like, yeah, that's really going to happen. Amen. You think greed and greediness is going to make you better? Amen. No, it's just going to make you bitter. That's what always happens. It makes people bitter. Amen. He said, thou hast consulted shame to thy house by cutting off many people and hast sinned against thy soul. Amen. That's what greed does. Greed raises its ugly head up, praise God. What we ought to do is be grateful for what we got. Praise God for what He gives us. And God will supply what our need because He promised He would. He said, seek first kingdom God, His righteousness, and all these things, praise God. Food, raiment, clothing, praise God. A roof overhead. He said, God, it shall be added unto you. Praise God. He said, God would take care of it if we'd just trust Him. Amen. But He said, because of this, because you've cut off many people, because it's all about you. Amen. So you sinned against your own soul. And just think about it. We're not sinning against just ourselves. We're sinning against our soul. We're doing things contrary to the Spirit of God and godliness. He said, for the stone shall cry out of the wall, and the beam out of the timber shall answer it. Amen. He said, He's going to say, hey, listen, you know, look where I come from. Amen. And the stone and the beam of praise say, hey, yeah, but look where I come from. Amen. God, by ill means and ill gain. Praise God. And they begin to cry out, praise God. They begin to witness against that very one who thinks he's building up and building his nest upon high, praise God, but soon crumble like straw. Amen. A warning, praise God, to the people. Amen. That warning. Greed. There's not much difference between greed and death. Amen? I said, there's not much difference between greed and death. Amen? Neither one, Brother Bobby's ever satisfied. Amen? Greed and death, neither one of them is ever satisfied. Death is always wanting to grab more and more. Greed is the same way. It's always wanting to get more and have more. But thank God, through Christ Jesus, Lord, praise God, He gave us all that we need. Amen. So we see a warning about all these things, and these things, we see all these things in the United States of America where we live today. It's prominent everywhere you look. Amen. Prominent everywhere we look. And then He goes on and talks about that in verses 15 through 16, He talks about a warning against drunkenness. Amen. Against drunkenness. Verse 15 said, woe unto him that giveth his neighbor drink. Amen. Proverbs said, woe to a man that put strong drink to his neighbor's lips. Amen. Woe to a man who does that. Amen. Praise God. You say, well, preacher, I didn't make him drink. Praise God. If you make it available, you have. Amen. Praise God. If you give alcoholic beverage, you give a substance that'll alter your mind to a friend, a neighbor, a person, your children, anybody around you, praise God, then you have put it to their lips. Amen. He's warning. He said, just don't do this. He said, put aside thy bottle to him and makest him drunken also, that thou mayest look on their nakedness. And not only, said, are you making them drunks, and you're causing them to be lewd. Amen. You're causing them to be consumed in lust. You're causing them to expose the flesh in lewdness. Amen. He's warning against these things. We look around America today. We look around the city of Asheville. It's everywhere around us today. We can see it. You don't have to go to Hollywood to see it no more. It's all around us. Amen? Everywhere that you look, it's there. He's given us this warning. Praise God. Verse 16 said, thou art filled with shame for glory. In other words, you're glorying in your sinfulness. Amen? We're glorying and you're just rejoicing, glorying in iniquity and sin, your transgressions, and your greed, and your alcoholism, your lewdness. He said, drink thou also and let thy foreskin be uncovered. Amen? And he said, listen to what he's talking about. He said, those that proclaim to be all that, but they're uncircumcised in the flesh. Those, praise God, that claim to be something that they're not. There's a whole lot of people today in the world, people that we know that claim to be something that they're not. You say, well, preacher, there you go. The Bible says, talk about Sunday school this morning, that we're not supposed to judge people. Yeah, but we're supposed to be fruit inspectors. And when people claim to be saved and love the Lord and they're living in sin and iniquity and lewdness and drunkenness, praise God, we ought to call it out. Amen. Hey, they may claim to be good, but praise God, their fruit's rotten. It's rotten. They're rotten to the core. It says, and the cup of the Lord's right hand shall be turned unto thee. That's that power and might. That right hand of God is the power of His judgment. God's going to judge those things. Amen. A warning against iniquity, a warning against sin and lewdness and drunkenness. Amen. He said, and shameful spewing all shall be in thy glory. Amen. He said, just regurgitating it out. Amen. Have you ever watched an old drunk? Praise God, he'll drink and he'll drink and he'll drink till they're consumed in alcohol. They're thankful. They're just thinking they're having a good time till they start puking. Amen. You say, preacher, I wouldn't have said that, but that's what they do. And they glory in that till they think, boy, it's such a good thing till that part comes along. Amen. Till you wake up the next morning with your head a pound and feel like it's about that big. And you can see it in them. And they think, what in the world did I do? But because of sinfulness, before they know it, they're doing it again. Amen. They're doing it again. The same wickedness, praise God. Going to the same place, doing the same thing, expecting a different result. It won't happen. Amen. Praise God. Because He gives that warning on this. Not only does He give warnings on the drunkenness, the lewdness, the flesh, praise God, but He gives a warning against idolatry. Verses number 18 and 19, look what He says. He said, what profiteth the graven image that marketh, therefore hath graven, that maker hath graven it, the molten image and the teacher of lies, that the maker of his work trusteth therein to make dumb idols. Amen. He said, what in the world are they thinking about? He said, he warns about making these dumb idols. These idols that people worship, these idols that people put their faith in, that can't do anything for them. Amen. They can't communicate to them in their spirit. They can't touch them in their soul. They can't guide them in their mind. We got a God today who can do all those things. Amen. Glory to God. And he longs to for us. Praise His name. He said, for the violence of leaveneth cover thee and the spoil of beasts, verse 14. Talking about that blood that we talked about in 18, that shedding of blood. And then he talks about these graven images, praise God, that we make, and the teachers that tell lies. Amen. There's so many people that today that would rather stand, look you in the eye, and tell you a lie than tell you the truth. Amen. We know people like that had rather tell you a lie than tell you the truth. Yeah, they hear something, instead of just telling you what they heard, they got to add something to it. My mother said when she worked out the plant one time and said a lady come in, first thing she done is she just whispered to somebody something, told them something that morning, first thing. She said by the time it went through that plant that day, of course she told them, said, don't say nothing to nobody. Amen. She said that she might as well broadcast it on the intercom. Amen. Said that thing went through that plant that day, and by the time the end of the day was, it come back, got back to her, and said, did you hear about such and such? And she said it was nothing like she had told. Everybody had got a hold of it. Everybody had added just a little bit to it. That's the way the devil does. He spreads a lie. That's the way iniquity is, sin is. It spreads a lie. Praise God. Listen, God's given us a warning. He said, get the warning about idols. He's given a warning about those teachers that would lie to us and tell us things. Those ticklers of ears, they tell us things that they think we want to hear. Amen. But praise God, it's a whole lot better to stand upon the truth. He said, but they trust us in these dumb idols. Amen? In dumb idols. He said, woe unto him that saith to the wood, awaken. Amen? Could you imagine taking an idol, taking an image, and praying to that thing and asking it to come alive, asking it to help you in some way? Amen. It can't even help itself. It's not even influential in what it ended up being. Hello? Amen? Without God Almighty, praise God, it wouldn't even know to be a tree. But God said, listen, we need to be warned. That we can't awaken the wood, praise God. We can't put our faith in idols. Idols can't help us. He said, behold, it's laid over with gold and silver. See, it makes it pretty. Amen? They take these idols and they make them pretty. The devil's got all kind of idols out there that he wants to make pretty for us. He wants to dress them up and make them look good. Make them attractive. Amen. Make them seem good. Praise the Lord. He said, rise and it shall teach. Amen. He said, awake at the dumb stone and said, arise and it shall teach. Behold, it's laid over gold and silver and there is no breath at all in the midst of it. Yeah, it ain't got nothing to say. Amen. It has no breath. It has no power. He said, listen, we need to pay attention. We need to heed the warnings of God. He said, this is what mankind can tend to want to migrate toward. But he said, God offers us something a whole lot better than this. He gives us a warning about all, but right in the middle of this, and it just jumped out at me the other day when I was reading it. Right in the middle of this, amen, in all these warnings, praise God, God give us a promise. Verse number 14. He said, for the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Amen. Let me read that again. It says, for the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. So we see here in this promise, you see all these warnings. But Brother Bobby, in all these warnings, we have a big old but God. Amen. I like it when you have those big old but gods. In verse 14, we have a big old but God. Praise God. For the earth shall be filled. Amen. Praise God. He's going to be filled with the goodness of God. Over in Isaiah chapter number 11, verse number 9. Isaiah said, for the earth shall be filled and shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. You say, well, preacher, he said the same thing. No, he didn't. Amen. He didn't say, praise God, that the earth shall be filled, that earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. Amen. See, the prophet Isaiah, he was looking, as the Old Testament prophets, he was looking from the mountaintop to the mountaintop, and he didn't see the church, praise God, and the relationship, with a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ down in the valley. Amen. He was talking about the good God of heaven, praise God. And he said what we would come to know through faith. In verse number 4, Habakkuk would tell us this. Amen. He said, verse number 3, he said, the vision is yet for an appointed time. Amen. Talking about another day. He said, but at the end of it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come and it will not tarry. He said, behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. Amen. So Habakkuk is saying here, he's telling us here in the Word of God, he said, listen, he said, there's something better coming, young. He said, just hold on. That's tarrying, praise God. He said, it's tarrying now, but when it's time, the tarrying will be over. Praise God, and one will be manifest, praise God, who's Jesus Christ, the glorious Son of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. When that day comes, there won't be no tarrying. They won't need no waiting, praise God. It'll be manifest in a moment of time. Bible said, in a twinkling of an eye. Praise the Lord. It'll be laid out there for us. Isaiah said, praise God, the glory, the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Amen. But Habakkuk says, praise God, he says, for the Lord, for the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. Amen. He said, one day, in a little while, we'll get to behold His glory. See, when Jesus come to earth, He laid aside His glory so that we could look upon Him. But glory, hallelujah, one day, Brother Bobby, He said He's coming. He's coming to all His glory and all His splendor. Amen. Praise God. What a picture God gives us. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That's something to be excited about. Amen. His glory. Manifest. Go just a little bit with me to over Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24 in verse number 30. Matthew 24 in verse number 30. He said, then shall appear. He said, talking about a time of immediate after tribulation. Amen. The tribulation of those days. When the sun's dark in verse 29, the moon shall not give her light. And the stars shall fall from the heaven, and the powers of heaven shall be shaken. He said, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. And they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Pray, we've never seen Him that way before. Praise God, we haven't seen Him that way since He left. Praise God, but we're going to see Him one day in power and glory and splendor. Amen. Praise God, it's going to be an exciting time. Amen. Just think about the most magnificent, exciting thing that you've ever seen and double it about 200 million thousand times. That's what it's going to be like when we see Jesus in His glory. Amen. The one who died for us. Praise God. Matthew tells it over Matthew chapter number 25. Matthew 25 and verse 31. He said, when the Son of Man shall come in His glory and all the holy angels with Him. Now, not only is He coming in all His glory and all His splendor, but praise God, He said, when He comes, He's coming with all the holy angels with Him. Can you imagine the power and the might? He said, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory. Praise God. We get to see the power of God. We get to see it manifest in Jesus Christ as He comes in glory. Now, if you look over this in Luke chapter number 9, go over just in the book of Luke, just over in chapter number 9. Luke chapter number 9. Well, let's just look at verse 24. Luke chapter number 9, verse 24 says, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. But now watch this, verse 25. For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be a castaway? But look at verse 26. For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his own glory and his Father's, and of the holy angels. Praise God. He said, not only is He coming in the glory of Himself, but He's coming in the glory of the Father's, and He's coming in the glory of the angels. What glory we'll behold. Amen. Glory, hallelujah, praise His name. Can you imagine it? Amen. Habakkuk lays down a warning. He said, hey, listen, just shun this stuff, stay away from this stuff, because the glorious promise that we have of the glory of our Savior. Amen. Poor Isaiah is looking from mountaintop to mountaintop, and he didn't see all the glory in the valley. I'm glad as a Gentile people, praise God, that we get to behold all the glory in the valley. Amen. Praise His holy name. We see the Lord Jesus Christ in Luke chapter number 9, verse 27. And He tells them this. He said, "But I tell you of the truth, there be some here which shall not taste of death till they see the kingdom of God." Amen? What's Jesus telling them there? He said, "Hey, listen, hey, there's some of you here that's going to get to see what the glory will be like." He said, "You're going to get to see for yourself." Hey, man, there's some standing here. He said, not everybody. He said, but there's some standing here that's going to see the glory of God. Of course, immediately following this, we see the Lord Jesus Christ transfigured before him. Amen. He was transfigured, and he put upon his glory. We see James and John and Peter, praise God, that's there. Peter, James, and John, they're there with the Lord Jesus Christ, and they saw Christ in His glory. Amen. Praise God. He was talking to Moses and Elias, who appeared in glory and spake of His decease, which He should accomplish at Jerusalem. Amen. And said, as they prayed, verse 29, the fashion of His countenance was altered, and His raiment was white and glistering. Amen. We've tried to portray that in TV programs and in Christmas programs and in plays, but we've never had the glistering magnificence and the glory of our Savior that we could behold. Peter, James, and John got to look at just a little peek, just a momentary peek of it, and it changed their lives forever. Amen. Nobody saw it on earth. Nobody's ever saw it on earth but Peter, James, and John. But one day, praise God, the Lord said that it would be revealed. Amen. It would be revealed even to God and to God's people. Amen. He's talking about the little nation of Israel, how God's going to bless them and in the splendor of His coming. In Romans chapter number 11, verse 25, the Lord says this. Romans chapter 11 and 25, He said, "For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened to Israel, unto the fullness of the Gentiles become in." Amen. And in other words, unto the end of the church age. What God's doing right now for us. Amen. He said, verse number 26, "And so shall all Israel, shall be saved, as is written. There shall come out of Zion a deliverer," that's Jesus, "and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob." He's talking about His second coming. He said, "So for this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins." Talking about when He comes. He said, "As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes, but as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sake. For the gifts and calling of God," Lachius, "are without repentance." So God said, "I've made you a promise. I made it in Isaiah." He said, "I made it in a Habakkuk and several other places." He said, "I'll keep my promise." Amen. He said, "I will send a deliverer." Who is that? That's Jesus. Said He's going to come out of Zion. Praise God. That's where He's coming from. That's where He's coming out of. If you go back to Romans chapter number 11, look at our first couple of verses. "I said then, hath God cast away His people?" I was asked this question in Romans chapter 11. He said, "God forbid. For I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God hath not cast away His people which He foreknew." Now watch this. "Want ye not what the Scripture saith of Elias? How he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed thy prophets and digged down thine altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. But what saith the answer of God unto him?" Now watch this. This is where the glory comes down. He said, "I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal." Praise God. "Even so then, at this present time also, there is a remnant according to the election of grace." Amen. Ain't you glad that there's a remnant according to the grace of God. You say, well, preacher, I just don't know if I believe all that. Amen? Praise God. If you can't believe that He could do that for the nation of Israel because He made them a promise, then what's the hope that we have of keeping Him keeping His promise with us? Amen? He made us a promise. He made us a promise through Jesus Christ the Savior that we have to believe in faith, put our faith in Him, that we could be saved. Amen? He's not going to renege on that. Praise God. It's forever settled in heaven. Amen? It's there. And it gives us, like old Abraham, it gives a look at that glorious city whose builder and maker is God. That's where our inheritance lies. That's where the glory is. Amen? So we have a warning, but we also have a great and a mighty promise over in the book of Revelation. Give me Revelation chapter number 21. In verse number 22. He said, I saw no temple therein. Talking about in that city. The city of God. He said, I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it. Now watch this. For the glory of God did lighten it. And the Lamb is the light thereof. Glory, hallelujah. Amen. Said, and the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. And the kings of the earth do bring their honor, their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day. For there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. And there shall be no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abominations or maketh a lie. In other words, the devil ain't got no place there. Amen. When we get there, we'll be shed of the devil. Amen. It'd be goodbye, bye-bye devil. Praise God. We won't have to worry about him no more. Listen to what he says. But they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Amen. Those got your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life, praise God. That's who the promise is to. It's to me and you, praise God. Amen. Those that's blessed. It was like old Father Abraham. Father Abraham, remember over, let me share it right quickly. Here it is. I got it marked. Father Abraham, remember he was looking for a city. He wasn't happy here. He was a pilgrim passing through. And he was looking for a city. He said, by faith, Hebrews chapter 11. By faith, Noah, verse number 7. By faith, Noah, warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark and saving his house. That was Noah, because he believed God. Verse number 8. But by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And when he went out, not knowing whether he went, by faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. It's the same promise that we have today, the promise of a city. He said, for he looks for a city which hath foundations. I'm glad there's some solid foundations on the city. Praise God. Which builder and maker is God. Amen. What a city. What a hope. What a promise. God lays out. He gives us these warnings. Praise God. But he gives us this great big promise in Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen. And back in Revelation chapter 22, verse 14, he closes out with this. Toward the end of the book, he said, blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life. Now watch this, and may enter in through the gates into the city. Amen. Glory to God. Full circle. Come into the promise. Praise God. God said, hey, listen, I give you these warnings so that you walk straight and be true. So you won't be able to believe a lie and come under all these things that he warns us about. But he said, I'll give you a promise, praise God, of a glorious Savior that we'll behold the glory of. And said, a glorious city one day that we'll enter into.
Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. He said, if I go prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. That where I am, there you may be also. That also was an awesome place. It's a glorious place, praise God, that He's got prepared for me and you. That we get to be partakers in, praise God, one day in a little while. Amen? But back over in Habakkuk, right quickly, in chapter number 2, the very last verse in this chapter that I didn't read nor hear. And the Bible says this in verse number 20. He said, but the Lord is in His holy temple. He said, let all the earth keep silence before Him. Amen. He's in a place of glory and splendor. He's in a place of magnificence. He's back in His holy temple. A place of holiness. Amen. We can't say nothing about that. He's nothing, praise God, but just give Him praise and glory. Lift Him up because of that glorious promise that He's made to me and you. Amen. He warns us about all the bad stuff, but He gives us a promise about the good thing, which is Christ Jesus the Lord. Amen. And the glory that we'll behold one day in a little while. Can you imagine? Can you even imagine what it's going to be like when we behold the glory of God? The Lord Jesus Christ, when we see Him face to face. Amen. Right, hey, listen, in Revelation, when they saw Him, they just fell at His feet like dead men. Amen. When they see Him in the theophanies where He appeared before them, praise God, they just fell before Him as dead men. Amen. Imagine how we'll be when we see Him in His glory and His splendor. People often say, well, I'll say this and say that. We won't say nothing. We'll just fall on our face and say, glory, glory, glory. What majesty we'll behold. Amen. Praise God that God, that Habakkuk, he said, you know what? He said, I'm going to give you all these warnings. In the middle of these warnings, he said, I'm just going to throw in a promise. That'll help us pray to heed the warnings because of the promise that we have in Christ Jesus the Lord. Praise God. Worthy is the praise and glory that He deserves because of who He is tonight. Amen. We got that glory all the way to the very end of this thing. He lays it out for us, praise God. He just keeps pointing us toward the promise and toward that glorious city that old Abraham was looking for. He was desirous of, amen, whose builder and maker is God Almighty.